Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We got ticket text to read. We want phone calls from you guys this morning. Taking a break from the Lions to talk about a couple teams that are perking up. Red Wings and Pistons, both on win streaks. Wings, 5 in a row. It's the longest active streak in the NHL. It's clearly more than just a couple games where a coach shook them up. They're playing real better hockey. Like, significantly better brand of hockey. And with the Pistons, John, Cade Cunningham has turned himself into a legitimate all-star.
Regarding the Wings, and yeah, certainly. I think Cade Cunningham is developing into the player that we believed he could be. But the Wings, you were there last night.
Yeah.
How much different is the feeling, the environment at the LCA than it was, you know, pre-McClellan?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, like, the team played with a malaise, and sometimes that would bleed into the crowd. And then I wonder if it's like a cycle, because then the team's just kind of skating through the motions. A lot of dump and chase with Derek Lalonde, just fighting to get the puck out of their own end, but never actually entering the zone with, like, purpose. And they got to do a little bit of that in the second period yesterday. Like, there was a faint, let's go Red Wings, and it would just die off immediately. The team was getting, like, one-man rushes, one-and-done chances. But that was the outlier. That was the norm under Derek Lalonde's Red Wings. Todd McClellan, I mean, they get into the intermission, and they snap back to it. They're trailing. They're down a goal. He said after the game, this was a good test for our guys. And they did. You know, they came back in that game. And he made a savvy line change. He took Joe Valeno, who's been a little burst up on the first line, bumped him down to the fourth. And he moved Marco Kasper, the rookie, up to the first line. And I don't know which one he was trying to jumpstart, or, you know, clearly Kasper, but it's the fourth line that ends up getting the goal. And they're tough on the puck. Like, Tyler Motz, this fourth line little grinder, and he's weaving in the zone, and he's got three guys around him, and they're tough on the puck. They're tough to take it away from. They're relentless. And Valeno, it's a rebound goal. It's kind of a greasy goal. It's the kind of goals they weren't getting, chasing and crashing the net. And I credit Todd McClellan for that, and I think it's pretty clear that he's exactly what this team needed. And being in the building, you really do feel like, imagine you're watching a game, and you know you're edge of your seat when your team can score. You were very rarely edge of your seat when you were watching Derek Lalonde's Red Wings.
And it's got to be just, I mean, I know it is, it comes across the TV, when you have the choice to change the channel, but you don't, because you're at least seeing some offense, you're seeing some shots on goal. Before it was an easy switch, because you're like, this is so boring, there's no shots, there's no offense. It's got to be even more so at the LCA when you're sitting there watching a game, knowing that whether you're edge of your seat, there's a chance that something good could happen.
You realize in 2025, none of our teams have lost.
Well, that's a nice little point.
Lions haven't lost. Pistons haven't lost. Red Wings haven't lost. Hey, you want to throw in Michigan State?
Yeah.
They haven't lost either.
Winners.
2025, the year of the winners.
Yeah. City of winners.
The year of Detroit.
State of winners.
Yeah, punctuate it with a Super Bowl, throw in some playoff appearances along the way. And that's the natural progression for both these teams, the Pistons and the Red Wings. It's the natural progression. Now, the question we threw out there is, you don't have to pick your favorite kid, but John, I'll ask you, you got to pick one of them. Who do you think is going to show more progress when all is said and done?
I think it'll be the Pistons, simply because they're coming from so far back. And maybe even just Cade Cunningham watching him and the way that he is attacking the fourth quarters. We saw it early in the season, and they just came up short. Or, you know, hey, he'd be having a good game, and then all of a sudden with 8 minutes left to go, it was over. And now they're starting to win some of those games. But, you know, when you only win 14 games in a season, and now, you know, shortly after the new year, you're sitting there at 18 wins, and you're at 500, and you're in the play-in tournament. And we started to see this when they were playing for the NBA Cup, right? When and we talked to JB, and you know, it was a little disappointing the night that after we had talked to him they lose, but you see that there's some excitement and that there's some progress, and it's a bummer to lose Ivy, but I really think that this is a team that is starting to, one, learn how to play together, learn what it looks like, feels like, and smells like to win games.
The answer to me is the wings because of the Ivy injury, and that's not the fault of the Pistons. I think they're still going to show a clear progression, and that's centered around Cade. The Wings were close to the playoffs a year ago. The playoffs are back on the table. I feel like it's more realistic that they are a playoff team between the two, and that's tangible. It's a lot harder to sell, like, well, if you watch the ball possession, if you watch the movement of the Pistons offense, the diehards will know that. The casual fan's going to want to see postseason, and I think the Red Wings have a much better chance to get in the postseason.
I don't know that they have a better chance. I think they you would think that they would, but they're in a tougher division and a tougher conference than the Pistons are in right now.
Yeah, but I said it before the year, and
it's not just the Wings or the Pistons. Some of it's the competition around them as well.
And I don't want to minimize it, but I feel like we do this, and we used to do this with the Lions. Like, they needed to have a favorable draw or a schedule. If you're good, you win, right? And I said this because in hockey, everybody says that the East is too good, the division's too good. Why can't you be one of the good teams, right? That's actual progress, not just lapping it up against bad teams. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the progress for the Pistons is they were an awful team. And now, I don't know what type of words you want to use to describe them. They're not bad, or they're 500 right now, so they're average.
Let me read you some of these ticket texts. 248-539-9797. Jaden Ivey comes back for the playoffs to win an NBA championship, just like Hutchinson is going to return for the Lions to win the Super Bowl.
It's okay. I don't know what JB, what words he's used, but it's season-ending injury. 4 to 6 months? Come on.
Ticket texter says, I don't think anybody knows the Pistons lineup by name.
Probably not.
They know Cade. They know Durin.
Yeah. If you're a Detroit sports fan, I don't know how they're not raising your eyebrow at some point here.
They should
be. What they're doing is they're not giving in any nights right now. Like, a lot of teams will mail in NBA games. They're not.
You know what the theme here, though, is? It's coaching.
Yeah.
When you mentioned all of our teams could go to the playoffs this year, the year of Detroit, the year of winning, have we ever had all four teams coached this proficiently? I mean, there's no doubt, like, AJ Hinch should have been the manager of the year in baseball. Yeah. With the way he manipulated a ragtag group to the postseason. Dan Campbell, as a culture builder, but also the adversity and the injuries, and they're 15-2, 6-0 in the best division. McClellan, the coaching impact is undeniable. And for JB Bickerstaff, I mean, from him to Monty Williams, it's startling.
I think the only holdback right now, and maybe the answer is clearly yes, it is the best coaches that we've had for all four teams at any one time. And I am very excited about what the Wings are doing, but we're talking about six games for McClellan so far.
They just look so much different.
They do.
Man.
They do. And clearly it's an improvement. I want to see more sample size.
The one time they didn't look different was last night in the second period, and then they snapped out of it.
You're not going to play perfect.
Right. Every team has bad periods, okay? But they looked like the Lalonde Wings last night in the second period, especially the first 15 minutes.
But isn't that telling, though, when you have to snap out of it? Are you forming these new habits or not? Right, John? It's easy to fall back into the old habits, but all it takes is, hey, a quick reset in the intermission, and you're right back to it.
And I mean, maybe that's what I want to see, because they're obviously not going to win every single game from here on out.
Right.
And they're not going to play great every single night, every time they take the ice. So what happens? How do they respond after a two-game losing streak or a three-game losing streak?
Between these two teams, I think one thing to keep an eye on is Cade's durability. It's been a knock on him. I mean, look, I'm a Cade fan, and he's starting to realize some of the potential I thought he had when they drafted him. And it was going to take time. He's still only 22, okay? But can he last the whole way? Now, he's probably going to need a few load management games here. I mean, it's reasonable to have a couple of those. I know people hate it, but a couple are okay. But with the Red Wings, I have to go with them, and it's more than just Ivy. It's the bottom of the East is pacing right now for the 8 seed to get 84 points. This team had 91 last year. Okay, now it's probably going to get up to 90 anyways, or maybe even higher. But that's the pace right now. 84 points to get the last spot. You're fighting with a bunch of just mediocre blah teams. And I don't know if anybody can rise from that crop of teams. I mean, we did it with the Devils last year and they never did it. Well, the same thing applies with the Rangers. You know? So maybe are they going to steal a spot? Can all of a sudden they get hot in the second half? I right now it's looking like no. But you look at the bottom of the East in the NBA, and there's only one team that's lurking out behind the Pistons that I still think could find something. It's the 76ers. But what if Miami falls apart with Butler getting traded? I mean, so somebody could slide down. And again, the Pistons are going to have to win one game probably because they're probably going to be in a play-in.
Let's get to the phones. John in South Lyon, you're on 97.1.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I don't watch much of the Pistons, so I can't speak to them. But I love what I'm seeing with the Red Wings. With Nuzzi as coach, we used to get two, maybe all three periods as bad periods, low effort periods, like you guys were mentioning. Now we'll have a bad period. They'll bounce back. We're seeing a lot more effort out of players that should be playing well. Patrick Kane has come back from the dead. Larkin, even when he wasn't scoring goals, was at least getting assists. Now he's back on scoring goals. It seems like there's a lot more buy-in, which is just huge. And they're playing effing hockey. I mean, that it boils down to that. It is very exciting to watch now. And if these guys stay healthy like they've been for most of the year, they could make the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, and make the playoffs, I think, is the fair goal. I'm not going to sell people that they can do very much. They still have their limitations. The offseason still was kind of a flat offseason. But year over year, their borderline playoff team a year ago, flat offseason, get back in, make some noise. Andrew, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
So here's my thing with the Red Wings. If we make the playoffs, that's great. But here's the thing. We will not be able to go deeper win with the current defenseman state that we have. Like, we have Justin Hall on the ice. We're not going to be able to make Justin Hall on the ice. And also the goalies, Lyon and Talbot, they're not going to be enough. We don't have that certified, you know, Vasilevsky in that. We don't have that certified stud defense that's going to be able to get us over the top.
You're right.
And that's my issue with them.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the plan is Kosa and Augustine won the gold for the U.S. juniors, but they're not NHL goalies. This is just kind of, hey, get by with a couple Band-Aid goalies.
Well, and I think did he say he was taking it to the next level where he thinks it could be a playoff team, but they're not going to win a playoff series?
Yes, basically. Okay, let's get there first.
Yeah,
exactly. That'd be progress, tangible progress to get in. 248-539-9797. We got the Power Surge coming up at 8:35 this morning. It's going to be a little different. You know, John loves pie. He's got slices for all the teams in the playoffs, from crumbs to the little sliver to the big old piece of pie with the whipped cream on. Oh, yeah. 8:35. It's 97.1.
Hey, Planet Fitness is the judgment-free zone. It's where you can go and start the year strong. That's what they've got going right now. And what else they have going? It's a $15 a month membership. So you get in the door, and you're going to find that you could feel stronger. You can have the best version of yourself here in 2025, and it's all because of some of the new equipment that they have. They have plate-loaded machines like a hack squat, supine benches. They also have free weights, cable rowers, Smith machines, upper and lower body strength machines, and the options that they have for cardio, whether it's treadmills, Stairmasters, they've got a lot of different options for you. And if you want more, you travel, you're moving around even just the city of Detroit, they've got over 2,600 clubs nationwide. There's over 50 in Detroit, 15 in Grand Rapids, 6 in Toledo. So no matter where you are, if you want to have access, upgrade to that Black Card membership. You have access to every single Planet Fitness. You're also going to be unlimited guest privileges. So you can take a guest with you every single time if you don't like working out alone. I don't like working out alone. So that's an offer for you as well. And the Black Card offers you the Black Card Spa, where you can recover with hydromassage and other innovative amenities. Find your nearest club and join today. You can do it in club, online, or on the Planet Fitness free app. We are all strong on the planet. That's Planet Fitness. And here's what you need to know. Hours, amenities, and offers vary by club. Check out theplanetfitness.com, or you could stop by your local club for more information. You must be 18 years old to enroll, or 13 and 17 with a parent or guardian.
work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Ticket techs flooding in. Lions are the big story, but we've carved out some time to talk about the other winners in our city. Pistons and Red Wings. Have you noticed? Raising an eyebrow. Who's making more progress if you're paying attention to this stuff? The Wings have won 5 in a row. The Pistons have won 4 in a row. They'll go for 5 tonight. Texter says, was Lalonde to the Wings Matt Patricia? The players weren't playing for him, had issues with him. Maybe it was that bad. Now they're playing for Todd McClellan.
I don't want to go that far with Lalonde.
Because even if he wasn't a good coach, he wasn't the scummy...
He just wasn't a dork.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a little harsh of a stray bullet there.
Yeah. I mean, okay, if it doesn't work out... Not every coach that works that doesn't work out at one of our local teams or anywhere, we're not just going to instantly label them Matt Patricia.
Yeah, that's harsh. Tech says, doubt you'll hear this talked about on the radio, but the Pistons are now 18-18, only a game out of the fifth seed. Great fun. Thanks for listening, Mark. What else we got? 248-539-9797. Preach, Jim, you're right. Don't worry about who's good or not. Play your games and win them. I think all four teams make the playoffs for sure. Wings in as well as the Pistons.
Talking about being a champion?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Says, love the show. Mad at Cookies. I was at the Wings game last night with our youth hockey team during the shootout. Cookies never said hi to us. Go Lions.
Typical. I mean, just elitist. Don't talk to me. I'm here to watch the Wings skate.
This is such a flat-out lie. I respect the troll. I really do. I say hi to anybody who says hi at these hockey games. I love going to hockey games. Texter says, I love Casper on the top line. Responsible player who's not ready to lead a line yet, but... It's a good call. It says, Valeno's experience is better suited to lead a line like last night. Hope that change stays. Sam in Grand Rapids. Casper had some big shots, chances, I should say.
Sure, some opportunities. Yeah.
Let's get to Brian on a cell. Brian, you're on 97.1.
Hey. First of all, John, go blue. Big Michigan.
Go blue.
I love when I beat Bama.
Yeah, me too.
So, you guys, I remember Todd McClellan was with Detroit under Mike Babcock when they won a Stanley Cup in 08. And he knows what Detroit expects to win. And I think Eisenman remembers that. That's why he brought him back to Detroit, because he won a cup with us as assistant. And he knows what Detroit fans expect.
It's a great note. Yes, he was on the Babcock staff and then immediately left after a Stanley Cup and won the President's Trophy with the Sharks. Like, he's got a long coaching history. He picked up his 600th win on New Year's Eve with the Wings. He not only coached under Babcock, you know who he coached? Steve Eiserman. Mm-hmm. Steve's last season in the winged wheel, Todd McClellan was an assistant coach on that staff.
But again, I made this point early in the show, and I will again then. Okay, Todd McClellan could have been hired in the summer.
Yeah.
I just don't get why it seems so clear and obvious with this turnaround, and it could still be a coach bump. I don't think it is, but that Eiserman gave Lalonde so much time.
Too loyal?
To me, yeah.
Well, think about it. I mean, a lot of the staff...
If the guy that you wanted was sitting there, if Lalonde wasn't the guy, you could have had him in the summer, and then you don't do what this. All this doesn't happen. I don't know. I'm just saying, I think there's a little bit of criticism to go to Eiserman in terms of the amount of time he gave Lalonde when the guy that you would want to replace him with was there.
I think it's fair.
Yeah,
not
sure.
Enough urgency.
Better late than never, though. They finally made the change, and I mean, how much did it cost them to this point? That we won't be able to answer that question till the end of the year.
Right, exactly. But the patience of Yzerman has been one of the biggest critiques of Yzerman.
It is. And he said at the press conference where they introduced McClellan that he does want to expedite this. Now, he doesn't want to do anything reckless. He doesn't want to compromise the long-term vision. But I think he is getting the sense, you know, he had higher hopes for the season.
Yeah.
And they need to do more. And I just hope it's followed through. Like this offseason, flat is the word I used earlier. I mean, they brought in another veteran Band-Aid goalie. It wasn't like a real goalie move. On the blue line, they lost a couple puck movers and didn't really replace them. They lost a lot of secondary scoring, and Tarasenko hasn't replaced it. It was kind of a flat offseason. I hope the trade deadline, if they're in it, he's more aggressive than he's ever been.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get to the cookie, not the cookie jar, that's Friday. We got pie coming up at 8:35. John is going to go through his power surge with slices of pie. Mm-hmm. But first, Heather with the news.
Dan Campbell could have his own street in Royal Oak if one business owner gets his way. So Christopher Powell, the CEO of HR Pro, is located right now on Campbell Road. And he submitted a proposal on Tuesday to rename the street, obviously, Dan Campbell Road, right? Thought like, let's honor this guy. Residents are allowed to suggest names, and now a committee will have to do a review of it and then make the final decision. And this business owner says, you know what? If the city does approve his proposal, he's going to help raise money to update the street signs, because obviously,
got to do that too.
You got to. Yeah. It's a process to do. It's not that expensive, it sounds like, but you still have to update everything. So he'd help raise money so that they could update all the signs. Right now, Campbell Road is named for somebody. It's actually named for Welcome Campbell, who moved to Royal Oak in 1859 with his wife and eight children. And
his owned, name was Welcome?
That's what it says. Uh-huh. Welcome Campbell owned tons of acres of land in that area. So
that there's old Welcome Campbell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know if he would mind. If
any of his descendants would mind. The question is, how long does this process take? When's the final vote?
Well, somebody, I might have been the mayor of Royal Oak, said, you know what, we're going to push this through and see if we can make a decision quickly.
I'm just curious, because, I mean, if they make it after February 9, it seems like it'd be an easier vote if they win the Super Bowl.
So he's not just playing for the Super Bowl, they're playing for the right to rename a street.
Rename a street.
Yeah. Rename a street or bust.
Exactly.
Yes. Zero lane.
We brought her name up earlier in the show. Yeah. Kelly Stafford was hoping for a Lions-Rams rematch in the NFL wildcard round. She discussed it during an episode of her podcast, The Morning After, and she discussed the NFL playoff scenarios, right? This is obviously before the Lions beat the Vikings. Yeah, this was before that. But she was hoping that the Lions would lose to the Vikings and then play the Rams on the road in a wildcard game instead.
It's enough already.
I think we're all on that same page.
Enough already.
We've seen it. Let's move on. I don't want to see it the next round.
Yeah, what, does he want to lose the Lions again?
Does she want to endure that again?
Well, she did. The sound obviously wasn't there. She did make a comment about that she wanted Detroit because we didn't beat them. And she said she believes it's easier to split games than beat someone twice.
Well, maybe she should ask the Bears, the Packers, or the Vikings if that's possible.
Yeah. Take that.
Yeah.
This is some sad news. An Ann Arbor woman was killed Monday night after she was struck by two vehicles. So officials say this 26-year-old was crossing Carpenter Road in a crosswalk, but it was during a do not cross signal when two cars who did have a green light struck her. The drivers both stopped, cooperated with the investigation. Police say speed and reckless driving don't appear to be factors. This is also a wild story. Two men were found dead inside a wheel well of a JetBlue plane in Florida after it spent the day flying from New York. So the bodies were discovered inside like the landing gear compartment during a routine post-flight inspection at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. The plane landed in Florida from New York, but it did spend the day or started the day in Jamaica, which is where they believe these stowaways were from. Obviously, JetBlue says this is a tragic situation that we are going to be investigating the identities of the individual and the circumstances surrounding how they even got to the aircraft inside of it are still under investigation. But quite a discovery, a shocking discovery for one employee there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Finally, Detroit made the New York Times list of places to go in 2025. So the annual list includes 52 locations around the globe that you can travel to each year. And Detroit is the 39th location on this list this year. And it was applauded for its remarkable signs of renewal. And they highlighted specific areas to visit. They talked about the Gordie Howe International Bridge, the Ralph C. Wilson Centennial Park, and then, of course, the new revitalized Michigan Central Station.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's
awesome.
Love the pub. Yep.
Yeah.
And it really has. Detroit has done such a great job of remaking itself.
Pretty awesome.
All right, John, coming up next is the power surge, but you're not just going to list the top six teams in the NFL. We're in the playoffs now. So we look to pie. You love pie. It's next, 97.1. Good morning, 97.1. NFL playoffs start this week. John gave us a nice little primer there. Regular season's over, and with the regular season ending, CBS Sports did season-long NFL grades. And I want to read you the blurb they wrote for the Lions. And there's four words specifically that I know will trigger some people, but I think it's a pretty honest assessment. They gave them an A+.
Only team to get an A+.
They said, incredible season for Detroit. Best in franchise history. Dan Campbell's vision came to life, and the Lions exploded on offense throughout the season and stepped on the gas when they needed it most, winning their final two games to secure the division and the one seed. It's now Super Bowl or bust for Jared Goff and company.
So what does that mean? What are you saying?
It means if they don't win the Super Bowl, it's a bust. It's a failed season. Dan Campbell himself is not a failure of a person, right? Jared Goff is not a failure of a quarterback. But for a team that's expectation is the Super Bowl, anything less is a failed season.
Is a gigantic disappointment. How can you say it's a failure?
Some people take that as like this threat, like we're threatening to call them a failure.
You're being so negative.
It's a compliment.
The expectations are to win the Super Bowl. Expectations at the beginning of the season were, at a minimum, get back to the NFC Championship game. Others, the minimum was get to the Super Bowl. Others, the minimum from the get-go was win the Super Bowl. And every step along the way, I've been very bullish about this team. 14-3 to start the season when the schedule was revealed. Even with the injuries, I said this is a team that should win the Super Bowl. I understand it's become infinitely harder without Aiden Hutchinson, without Carlton Davis, without some of the other individuals that should be playing on this roster. The number of guys on defense by itself have made this very difficult. And for some, it's forced it into the unlikely category. And for you, it was, can win the Super Bowl. I think they still should win the Super Bowl. And now that, and I think it was very important in that article that they said, hey, they stepped on the gas at the right time. People were asking the question, should they play their starters against San Francisco? Yes, step on the gas. Let's go. It's left lane, pedal down, and let's keep on rolling. That led into a Minnesota game where they were clearly the more prepared, better team than Minnesota. They secure the number one seed. And most of us said for them to be able to reach the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, they had to get that one seed, especially with the injuries. Now the expectation is that they not only make it to the Super Bowl, but they win the damn thing.
And that's not the expectation solely set by us or you as a fan. It's set by the coach. It's set by the general manager. It's set by the sports books. It's set even factoring in the injuries. Understand what we're saying here. They are depleted on defense, and they're still the favorite. They're depleted on defense, and they exceeded even John's lofty 14-win expectations when the schedule came out. Understand that even with the injuries, they went 6-0 in the best division in the history of football. So why would the standard not be Super Bowl or bust? Kansas City is Super Bowl or bust. Buffalo, talk about their history of coming up just short. They beat Kansas City and Detroit. For them, only a Super Bowl is a satisfying conclusion. Anything else is failure. These are compliments. I know it doesn't always sound that way. And, you know, my tone is not always great, so maybe it's my fault. But Super Bowl or bust, I truly think, is a compliment. I think the conflict comes from this, John. Incredible season for Detroit, best in franchise history. Can the best season in franchise history be a disappointment? That is at the crux of this, right? Because if they go to the Super Bowl and lose, they would have had the best season in franchise history, but it's a bust.
Well, and we're not saying that the journey hasn't been fun.
Of course.
It's been a great ride. And we're going to enjoy watching everyone else play this weekend except our Detroit Lions. We are anticipating, and we'll talk about this more, maybe tomorrow, more likely Friday, in regards to who do you want to see in the divisional round as these teams match up this weekend on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Who is it that you want to play? And, I mean, that's going to be fun. The lead up to the divisional game will be fun. The lead up to the NFC Championship game will be fun. The lead up to the Super Bowl, all of it is going to be fun, but it all has to end in a Super Bowl championship for it to be everything that the expectations say it should be.
We had a text today, I think, that nailed it, and they reduced it to a movie quote, and it's a comedy. But it's a movie that the Midday Show uses. Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last.
Shake and bake.
That's what this is. If you're not first, you're last. Ticket text phone calls, will collect them. 248-539-9797. Texter says, when did the Lions become the favorite over Philadelphia? John, I can answer it. When they secured home field throughout the NFC playoffs. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. For 31 teams, this is going to be a disappointing season. It is every single year. The level of expectation for the Carolina Panthers was much different than it was for the Green Bay Packers than it was for the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, the Ravens, and obviously the Detroit Lions. But there's going to be 31 teams, and half the league, more than half the league, 18 teams, are already disappointed because they're not playing anymore. The fact that the Lions have secured the one seed, the fact that they've done everything, and Dan Campbell said, hey, let's work back from what our goal is. That is to win a Super Bowl. How do you get there? Well, you get the one seed, you win your division, you make the playoffs, you work your way back, and they have checked all of those boxes. Now they have one less game to play than everybody other than Kansas City, and they get to play all of those games at home until they reach the Super Bowl.
I'll give you an example. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they make the Super Bowl and lose. That's not a failed season for them. Right.
Well, they outkicked their coverage. Last year wasn't a disappointment, even though it felt disappointing.
Disappointing, but it wasn't a disappointing season.
Right. The Lions outkicked their coverage.
And in a lot of ways, I'll use the comparison, it was the 06 Tigers. This run that no one saw coming. Now, 06 for Detroit was even more out of nowhere, but no one looks at making the 06 World Series as a failed season. But then the expectations were raised. And from that moment on, until 2014, when they had their last shot at it, every season was defined by one goal, winning the World Series. They didn't. It forever changed it. It changed the expectations. It changed the outlook. It changed the mentality. And it was good. There was good baseball teams, fun baseball teams. Super Bowl or bust doesn't have to be some negative thing. Some people take it that way. How do you feel about it? CBS Sports said it. They go, this is the best season the Lions have had, incredible season, but it's Super Bowl or bust. 248-539-9797. Texter says, why do you guys do this failure of a season thing? I don't understand the point. Of course, everyone will be sad. What's the point of labeling it a failure? Valeni did the same thing yesterday. I've never understood the conversation. Season's been amazing. Everyone will be sad if we don't win it. Try again next year. It's as simple as that. It's not as simple as that. Next year, they might not have these coordinators. Next year, they're going to play a tougher schedule. They may not have home field throughout the playoffs. This is a golden opportunity. It's okay to acknowledge that.
Right.
And why do people get so offended at the word failure? Like, in sports, you succeed or you fail. You win or you lose. Like, these are the options. I don't know why we run from it and act like little scared babies about it.
Right, yeah. There's no gold star like you wanted for the college football playoffs. So it's
watch yourself.
When you have an opportunity to do something special, you're built to do something special, then you either go out and you perform and you live up to those expectations. And if you fall short, what is it called?
Disappointment. Or failure. Failure is a scary word for people. It's the same thing. They're interchangeable.
And I want to put a little bit more positive spin on it in regards to, you don't know if you'll be here next year. You don't know if you'll have the one seed. You don't know if... you also may be better next year.
With Aiden.
Right. You put Aiden and Zadarius next to, on the same defensive line. You get Carlton Davis. You know, people stay a little bit healthier than they are now. Like, next year will have its own obstacles, its own challenges, and its own set of scenarios. It could be better. We don't know that because we're living in the moment. This is the here and now.
I think the unknown is why people get nervous about, beyond just this year, how it's going to look. You're right. Brett Holmes could draft another 3 or 4 all pros, put a full season of Aiden Hutchinson in this defense, hire good coordinators because, hey, Dan Campbell's done it once. I'm not telling you this is their only chance to win a Super Bowl. I'm just saying, like, this is where it is. I mean, this is as good as it gets. 15-2, one seed, favorite to win the Super Bowl as the postseason starts. We'll get some of your phone calls after the update. It's 97.1.